but Patrick didn't see and wouldn't have cared in any case. He was totally absorbed in his work, caught up in the unknowing greed of it, pausing only to go back to the binoculars now and then for another long look at his red-robed subject. Sometimes he slanted the pencil to shade a little, then rubbed with his thumb to produce a shadow. Sometimes he rolled his eyes back in his head, showing the world nothing but the waxy gleam of the whites. It was as if he were conning some version of the Red King that stood aglow in his brain. And really, how did Roland know that was not possible? I don't care what it is, just let him finish before I go mad and sprint to what the old Red King so rightly called my darling. Half an hour, at least 3 days long, passed in this fashion. Once, the Crimson King called more coaxingly than ever to Roland, asking if he would not come to the tower and palaver after all. Perhaps, he said, if Roland were to free him from his balcony prison, they might bury an arrow together and then climb to the top room of the tower in that same spirit of friendliness. It was not impossible, after all. A hard rain made for queer bedfellows at the inn. Had Roland never heard that saying? The gunslinger knew the saying well. He also knew that the Red King's offer was essentially the same false request as before, only this time dressed up in morning coat and cravat. And this time Roland heard worry lurking in the old monster's voice. He wasted no energy on reply. Realizing his coaxing had failed, the Crimson King threw another sneech. This one flew so high over the pyramid, it was only a spark, then dove down upon them with the scream of a falling bomb. Roland took care of it with a single shot and reloaded from a plentitude of shells. He wished, in fact, that the king would send more of the flying grenades against him because they took his mind temporarily off the dreadful call of the tower.